Today's daf is Menachos Daf Lamed Gimel. We are holding on Daf Lamed Beis and Beis. Toward the end of Daf Lamed Beis and Beis, we have a series of five statements made by Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. We read the first two yesterday, where Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said that you're not allowed to write a mezuzah like an igeres, and Rashi understood that that meant that you can't write a mezuzah without sirtut, nor can you write a mezuzah without being careful about the chaseros v'yaseros, because that's the way you write a letter. The second halacha Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel taught us was that you can't hang a mezuzah on a pole. You have to put the mezuzah, affix the mezuzah actually to the doorway. The Gemara associated that with some level of sakana. We had a machlokas Rashi and Tosos what the sakana was. Rashi says the sakana is simply that you're not being mekayim the mitzvah of mezuzah. And if you're not being mekayim the mitzvah of mezuzah, that itself is a sakana to have your house without the mezuzah. And that of course relates to what the Gemara is going to say today in Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, how the mezuzah provides us and affords us a certain level of protection. We'll discuss that in Mirtz Hashem a little bit more later. But Tosos said no, the sakana is not about that. We're talking about the sakana of simply having a mezuzah protruding out of the doorway, sticking out of the doorway. You're going to walk into the room, you're going to bang your head on the mezuzah every time. That's the sakana that we're worried about. The Torah writes, "V'im hinicha achorei adelas ein za mitzvasa, v'nira she'im shina be'elu mekomos einu ma'akev, rak she'tia b'tzada yamin l'biya, she'im lo kava b'tzada yamin l'biya, vade ma'akev." Torah basically quotes these halachos Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says that you can't be talav makol and it can't be achorei adelas, and says, yeah, but it's not really ma'akev. You're b'yeved, you're yotzei, you're chiyuv anyway. So clearly the Torah can't hold the sakana like Rashi. Rashi says all sakanas, you're not being mekayim the mitzvah. You're not being mekayim the mitzvah, therefore your house is still in danger. So that's what the Bach points out. The Torah must understand the sakana that the Gemara speaks of, the way Tosfos understands the sakana, not the way Rashi understands the sakana. Okay, so we're picking up now two lines from the bottom of the page. I'm in Beis. Third statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Vam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, mitzvah l'anicha b'toch chalalo shel Pesach. You have to put the mezuzah within the hollowness of the doorway, within the area that's inside the actual doorway. So says Gemara Peshitta, b'sha'arecha amar Rachmana. Why would I think otherwise? Of course that's where you put the mezuzah. Pasuk says you put it b'sha'arecha. No, salka daita chamina. The Havamina would have been that Hol va'amar Rava mitzvah l'niyachah b'tefach ha'samach l'shus ha'rabim kama demerchik mali, since Rava taught us that it's that ideally if you have a very thick doorway, we don't normally have this where around here, but if you ever walk through the old city for instance, so they could have doorways that are several amos thick, that are very very thick, so the mitzvah is to put it in the tefach ha'samach l'shus ha'rabim, in the outermost tefach. The Gemara Namad Beis is going to give two reasons for that halacha, to put it on the outermost tefach. But one might have thought, if the mitzvah is to put it on the outermost tefach, so I'd put it even further out, put it outside of the doorway, and that might even be better. So kamash v'lan, that's what it's telling me, no. You put it in the outermost tefach of the doorway, but you do not put it outside of the doorway. It still has to be inside the doorway. Fine. Statement number four of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Vam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, kasva al shnei dapin psula. If you write the mezuzah on two dapin, it is possible. What does two dapin mean? Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says al shnei dapin chetzia b'dav zeh v'chetzia b'dav zeh. Clearly, Rashi assumes it means, we're going to see soon that it means if you put it in two columns on the same parchment, you write it in two columns. If you look at Tosfos on the third line, ela al beiz dapin b'shtei chatichos ka'amar. Tosfos understands. No, beis dapin means you put it on two separate parchments, on two pieces of parchment. So that's the fundamental machlokas Rashi tells us what the Gemara means. Whichever it is, it's possible. Meisvei kasval shnei dapin v'nicha b'shnei sifin psula. So, frankly, Gemara, wait a second. We said that if you put it on shnei dapin and then you place it on two different places, on two different doorways, then it's going to be possible. Habasaf echad ksheira. Sounds like if you put it on the same doorpost, even if it's on shnei dapin, it's going to be kosher. So how can you say shnei dapin is possible? And says Gemara, no, ru'uyel shnei sifin ka'amar. It means even if you write it in such a way where it would be easily split. That's what it means it's possible. It's ra'ui to be split and put into different places. What does that mean? So the way Rashi understands it is that it means that you write it in such a way on one parchment, but in two columns where you could slice right between the columns, and it would be easily split by the blank space that's between the two columns. Tosfos understands much more pashut. No, it's ra'ui for Shnei Sipin because it's already in two different parchments. It's already split up as it is. Good. The Rambam writes that if you write b'shnayim or b'shlosha dapin, it's kosher. But if you write in shnei oros, if you write on two parchments, then it's going to be pasul. So the Rambam clearly understands shnei dapin like Tosfos. That pasul means only if you write in two separate parchments, not if you write it on the same parchment. Now Tosfos previously had said that even if you wrote it on shtei chatichos, on two different parchments, if you sew the parchments together, the mezuzah is going to be kosher. The Rambam, however, holds that even if you sew the parchments together, the mezuzah is going to be possible. So the Rambam is not exactly like Shita Satosfos. He says that on one parchment it's fine, even in two columns. Two parchments is no good, but they're so no good if it's on two parchments, even if you subsequently sew them together, it's still going to remain no good, unlike the Tosfos we had yesterday, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, the Ibra Maskel Dilma. The Mordechai writes that from the Yerushalmi that Tosfos quotes, it seems that there's actually a raya against Tosfos. Tosfos thinks that there's a Yerushalmi that's a raya for them, but says the Mordechai, the Yerushalmi is actually more of a raya for Rashi. The Yerushalmi says that there are two differences between Tefillin and Mezuzah and Sefer Torah. One difference is that between Tefillin and Mezuzah on the one hand and Sefer Torah on the other hand. One difference is that Tefillin and Mezuzah are not written on two parchments. A Sefer Torah can be written on several parchments. It's supposed to be written on several parchments. And the second chiluk is that Mezuzah and Tefillin are only written bidaf echad, and Sefer Torah is written on shnei dapim. Now, what does that mean? If you say like Tosfos that shnei dapim means two parchments, why are those two separate chilukim? Sounds like the exact same chiluk. So that's what leads you to believe, says the Mordechai, that Yerushalmi is actually a raya for Rashi. That shnei dapim doesn't mean the same thing as two parchments. Shnei dapim must mean two columns. Now it's also, it seems from that Yerushalmi, against the Tosfos that we just quoted from Lamed Beis, that if you sew the two parchments together, that then it's going to be kosher. Because according to the Yerushalmi, that you have to write the mezuzah al daf echa, that it all has to be on one column, so why do you need another din that it can't be in two parchments? I mean, why would the Yerushalmi say two separate din? You can't have it in two parchments, can't have it in two columns. Of course, if you can't have it in two columns, then obviously it can't be in two parchments. It must be Yerushalmi's telling me, even if you're able to sew it together down in one column, you're able to sew the two parchments together where it looks like one column, even that's puzzle. So it sounds against the Tosfos and Lamed Beis, more like the Rambam. So the Yerushalmi seems to be a riot to that Rambam as well. Okay, fifth statement of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Vam Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, b'mezuzah when it comes to putting up the mezuzah, you should follow the heker tzir, meaning the hinges of the door will guide you as to which side you're supposed to put the mezuzah on. So my heker tzir, what is heker tzir? Amravada avkasa, it's avkasa. Hechidami, what does that mean? Kigon pischa de bein trei bati, bein bei gavri le bein nashi. It's like the doorway you have between two rooms, between the men's room and the women's room. So Rashi points out, this is talking about a person splits his house into two parts. He has one room where people go around and, you know, he entertains guests, and another room where his wife does whatever work she does in private, where it's not going to be in public view of all the guests. And there's a doorway between the two rooms. Now, critically, Rashi says, each room opens up into Rosh Hashanah. So each room has its own access into the Rosh Hashanah. Neither room is further into the house than the other room. Both rooms are used plenty, and therefore you have no other way to know which side to put the mezuzah on other than the Heker Tzir. That's when we follow Heker Tzir. The Mordechai writes that the Gemara says Bein Bei Gavri Le Bein Nashi to teach us that it's dafka in a situation where the hishtamshus of both rooms are equal. I mean, people often think Heker Tzir is the only thing that we're concerned about, is which way the door opens, which side the hinges are on. That is the last thing we actually look at. We look at so many other things first. We look at which one is closer to the Rosh Hashanah, which one is closer to the inside of the house versus the outside of the house, which one is more hishtamshus, which one you use more. It's only when none of those considerations turn up any answers that we then have to turn to Hecker Tzir. That's where Hecker Tzir plays a role. Pesach, the Mordechai says, between a bayis and a cheder, or a cheder l'aliyah, or a cheder that's pesuach l'rosh Hashanah, she'ena pesuach l'rosh Hashanah, so then you put the mezuzah on the more chashuva room, that the mezuzah is on the right side going into the more chashuva room. And that's in fact how we paskin. Not everyone agrees with that, but that's in fact how we paskin. Okay, Reish Galusa Banabesa, the Reish Galusa once built a house. Amar le Rav Nachman, kavah li mezuzah. So he told Rav Nachman, do me a favor, put up my mezuzah. So I'm Rav Nachman, tali dashi bereisha. Rav Nachman said, well, you're going to need to put up the doors before we put up the mezuzah. Now, what does that mean? You need to put up the doors before we put up the mezuzah. So Rashi says that Rav Nachman said to them, look, you need to put up the doorposts and the mezuzahs of the delas, meaning not the doors, you need to put up the doorposts first before I put up the mezuzah, because if you don't, it's going to be a problem of ta'asevelomina asui. Meaning if I put up the mezuzah and then you put out, you hammer in the doorposts, so the mezuzah is going to be there by the time the doorpost is put there, that's a violation of ta'asevelomina that the mezuzah has to be made, it can't already be pre-made. Very similar to what we have by sukkah, that you're not allowed to put up the schach and then put up the walls, because the schach has to be what makes it a kosher sukkah. You can't have the schach first and then make it a kosher sukkah by the walls. You can't have a mezuzah first and then have the doorpost. So it is a concept that we're familiar with. The real question, though, is where do we get tasev lo menasev by mezuzah from? The Torah never uses the word taseh when it describes making a mezuzah. So how do we know that there is such a concept of Tasav Lomina Aswe? So Rashi says we learn it from Tzitzis. Madani Yom Tov suggests in the name of the Levush, we learn it from Sukkah. And that's what the old Shlomo says as well. Kiryas Sefer says, we don't learn it from anywhere. It's a Dindar Rabbanon of Tasav Lomina Aswe by Mezuzah. But either way, the way Rashi understands this instruction of Rav Nachman is you have to put up door posts before I put up the Mezuzah, and the issue is one of Tasav Lomina Aswe. Tosel says, no, this is just going on the last line of the Gemara. Last line of the Gemara said that you only follow Hecker Tzir when you don't know which room is the more chashuva room. So you follow the Hecker Tzir. So Rav Nachman said, I need to see the door before I put up the mezuzah, because I need to figure out where the Hecker Tzir is going to be. I need to figure out which direction the door opens in. That's why I need to put up the mezuzah. Much better flow, according to Tosfos of the Gemara, that this story relates mamish to the previous line. The third sheet in Rishonim of how to understand this Gemara, and the most the wildest sheet perhaps, is the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin Mezuzah Sefer Torah Perek Vav Halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes that there are 10 conditions in a bayis in order for it to be chayiv, in order for the person who lives there to be chayiv in mezuzah. And if you're missing any one of those 10 conditions, then that house is potter from mezuzah. One of the conditions the Rambam lists is that there have to be doors already on the doorways. Without a door, you're not chayiv in mezuzah. Whoa, so Rav Nachman is not saying put up your door posts and then I'll figure out where to put the mezuzah. He was saying you need to hang doors, because without a door, not because then I'll see Hecker Tzir. No, without a door, it's not chayiv in mezuzah. The door is critical in order for it to be chayiv in mezuzah. Now, the Keren Ora suggests that the Rambam was only saying this l'mitzvah bialma, that it's not really ma'akev to have the door, but that is not at all the mashmaos of the lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam sounds like he's saying this mamish li'ikuvah. You need doors there in order to be chayiv in the mezuzah. The Rava disagrees. He says, I don't understand where the Rambam gets this from. He says, all you need is a tzuras ha-pesach to be chayiv in mezuzah. All you need is two doorposts and a lintel on top, and that's it. You're chayiv in mezuzah. Where do you get this idea that you need doors itself? So the Kesef Mishnah, this is one of those instances where the Kesef Mishnah quotes from the Chachmi Lunil, that the Chachmi Lunil actually asked the Rambam where he got this from. There are so many difficult Rambams to understand. There are a handful of them where we actually got to ask the Rambam. We actually got to ask the Rambam, where do you get this from? So the Rambam didn't come up with a fancy Tzvei Dinim or any major brisker lumdus. What the Rambam said is as follows. His response was, you should know that the Ikra Mitzvah is only on a gate. Pasuk says, Al Mezuzos Beisecha,
uvisharecha. So what? You place it in two places, on a mezuzah and on a shar? No. El kachamar al mezuzah beisecha val mezuzah kol sharecha. That it has to be on a mezuzah that has a shar. So it's only a mezuzah that has a shar, and that's what Rav Nachman is saying in our Gemara, that he tells the Reish Galusa. He says, "You want to know what my source is in Shas? It's Menachos Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph." Rav Nachman tells the Reish Galusa, put up a door, and then I'll tell you, then I'll put up your mezuzah. Without a door, there's no need for a mezuzah. So the Rambam suggests that it's all based on this Gemara, that you need to have a door before you actually put up a mezuzah. Good, says the Gemara, Viter, Amar Avi Dom Rav, Asa Kmin Nagar Psula. If a person makes a mezuzah like a peg that a carpenter would use, so that's pasul. So the question is, what does that mean? Like a peg that a carpenter would use. This is a major machlokas in the Rishonim. So Rashi says that the hanging of a mezuzah like a peg means that it's placed horizontally, the way that the carpenters would attach nails to a wall. So in Rashi's view, mezuzah should be hung vertically on the doorpost, and it's invalid if you hang it horizontally. This is one of the more famous machlokas in Rashi and Tosfos and Shas. Tosfos says no. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam that like a peg means that it's hung vertically. So in Rabbeinu Tam's view, if you hang it horizontally, it's possible, it has to be hung horizontally, and if it's hung vertically, it's possible. Machlokas Rashi Tosos, do you hang the mezuzah like that, or you hang the mezuzah like that? You hang it horizontally, or you hang it vertically? If you look toward the end of Tosos Dibur Maskel Hada Avida, about the fifth wide line, Hilkach Nira, Bein Lepirush HaKuntros, Bein Lepirush HaBein Tam, Dik Istavira, Dik Sheira, Hainu Ba'alachson, Lo Shochev, Velo Zakuf. That the way to get around the problem is that both, according to Rashi and according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you hang the mezuzah on an angle, then it's going to be kasher. Inami kemin nun mechza shochev mechza zakov. Or the less popular solution, bend the mezuzah and have it like an L shape, and therefore it's going to be partially horizontal and partially vertical. But we look for the compromise. So that's what the Bali Musral say. Why dafka by this machlokas? Do we have a compromise? Normally, a compromise doesn't satisfy anybody in halacha. Rashi tells you that it should be hung vertically. Rabbeinu Tam holds it has to be hung horizontally. So how does a compromise help? That's what they say. Dafka by the bias, when there's where we want to emphasize shalom bias. So we show just on the very entrance into the house that the way to achieve shalom bias is by always having compromise. That even Rashi and Tosfos were willing to compromise on their shitas. Of course, that's not actually the pshat, but that's a nice idea anyway. I mean, it is the pshat in shalom bayis. It's not really the pshat in the halacha in terms of why we compromise over here. We'll see why in a second. Let's just see a little weiter. Say any vakiyas or avisa by Yosef or makul mezuzah debe Rebbe kamin nagar havu avidan vayipisko da'el bay Rebbe lebe midrasha lavel mezuzah. So he said, wait a second, is that really true? Weren't all the doorways of Rebbe's house made kamin nagar, made like a peg, which we just said is possible? And plus, by the way, the doorway that Rebbe had into his base medrash, he didn't have a mezuzah on. We'll get more back into that second half of the statement later, but right now we're interested in the first half of the statement. Sounds like min nagar is kosher. Says more lo kasha, ha davida kisichsa, ha davida kistavira. It depends if it's made horizontally or it's made like an L shape. So min nagar, well, I mean horizontally, if you say like Rashi, that it's supposed to be vertical, so horizontal is no good, but istavira, if you make it like an L shape, then it is good. So you see in the Gemara already says that some sort of compromise is okay. According to everyone's going to have to say it because of the stira. So it's based on the Gemara already. We see that some sort of compromise is okay. Shulchan Aruch and Reish Peites Sivvav paskins like Rashi that the mezuzah should be upright in the doorpost. But the Rama quotes the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam and says that we should try to be yotzei shnei adeos, the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam as well, by putting it on an angle. So there is a lot of discussion about this suggestion of the Rama. If Rashi insisted that the mezuzah stands straight and Rabbeinu Tam insisted it lie flat, putting it on an angle, l'chora, would seem to satisfy neither opinion. So maybe the explanation is based on the way the Gemara says it. The Gemara never said the mezuzah has to be positioned a certain way. It only said the way it can't be positioned. That kamin nagar is puzzle. So Rashi understands, and Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam each understand that if you put it completely in the other direction, it's puzzle. So it doesn't say No one says it must be vertical or it must be horizontal. They only say if it's exactly the opposite, then it's going to be possible. So maybe that leaves you with a lot of room for leeway over here. Only if you hold that it has to be vertical. Only if it's mamish horizontal, it's possible. The formulation of the Gemara itself allows for compromise, right? And vice versa. So that's one possible explanation of why it's okay to have it on an angle. The other problem though is the Ramban never clarifies how much of an angle is an angle, meaning what kind of an angle are you supposed to put it on. So in the Sefer Mikdash Ma'at Sifkat Lamed, he suggests that the angle should be very slight, just enough to recognize that the mezuzah is not completely upright. The Chazon Ish is Ksav Mechuvos says that they wrote that in the Chazon Ish's home, in the home of the Chazon Ish, the mezuzahs were like that. They were practically upright with just a very slight tilt to them. However, the Minchas Elazar in Chelik Beis Siman Lamed Vav says that the mezuzah should be at a 45-degree angle. And his logic seems to be that in order to really be a compromise between the opinions of Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, the mezuzah should be at the exact midpoint. So what's the Nekudas HaMachlokas? Nekudas HaMachlokas seems to be, are we really compromising? Or are we saying that, no, really we paskin that it's supposed to be upright? Just stam, as a show of compromise, we tilt it a little bit. But really, Meikar Adin, like the Shulchan Aruch paskins, it's really supposed to be upright. Or do you say, no, we're really trying to compromise completely between the two? Now, sometimes there's not enough room on the doorpost in order to tilt it. So that's Piskei Tshuva and Sifkat and Tes, quotes from the Yad HaKatana, that if the doorpost is too narrow to accommodate an angled mezuzah, the mezuzah should be placed upright. Even the Ramah, who suggested the compromise, would acknowledge that the halacha really follows Rashi, that the mezuzah should be upright. The suggested compromise is only in a situation where it can easily be accommodated, where you can easily tilt it. In the very next paragraph, Piskei Tshuva quotes from the Sefer Chomos Yerushalayim, who implies that when there's no room to angle the mezuzah on the doorpost itself, it should be placed outside the doorpost. But however, it seems that the Yad HaKatana is the more accepted sheet of la'alacha, that when there's no room to angle it, you still put it upright on the doorpost. It's only when there's mamish no room in the doorpost at all that you would put it on the outside of the doorpost. But if there's room in the doorpost, just not enough room to angle it, so then you would put it you would put it without an angle, you would put it upright like Shitas Rashi, like the Pesach of Shulchan Aruch. Good. Says Gemara Veiter, Eini vahu pischa dava ayil barav hunu lebe medrash avavi. So wait a second, now we're questioning the second half of what Rebbe did. That Rebbe apparently, when by his base medrash, he didn't have a mezuzah. So I asked the Gemara, but wait a second, Rav Huna had a doorway to his base medrash, and he did have a mezuzah. So I asked the Gemara, Hahu ragil hava. That was a very commonly used doorway that a lot of people used. By mezuzah, you go basar the ragil, you go with commonly used doorways. This is also a major discussion. Bate medrash and bate knesios, do they require a mezuzah? So base knesis we're going to have later on. That's in a couple of weeks. We're going to hit a sugya. Actually, we're not going to have it. It's a sugya in The Gemara in Brachas Taf Mem Zayin tells a story when Ravin and Abaye were traveling together. Abaye noticed that Ravin always went through the narrow passages ahead of Abaye, and he thought that Ravin maybe was arrogant and didn't respect him. One time, though, they arrived at the door of the shul, and Ravin said, Abaye, you go first. He let Abaye go ahead of him. So when Abaye asked Ravin, well, now you respect me, why didn't you respect me until this point? So Ravin said, no, Rabbi Yochanan holds that it's only necessary to show kavod by allowing somebody to go through a door with a mezuzah ahead of you. If the door doesn't have a mezuzah, then there's no requirement. So the Gemara questions that this psak, because the Beis Medrash and the shul don't require a mezuzah, and yet Ravin honored Abaye by allowing him to walk through the door of the shul ahead of him. Sounds like it does require a mezuzah. So the Gemara says that the doorway through which you honor somebody doesn't actually have to have a mezuzah, it just needs to be a type of structure that would have, structurally the kind of doorway that would have a mezuzah. It doesn't actually need a mezuzah. But the implication of the Gemara is that a shul does not actually get a mezuzah. Shulchan Aruch Reish Pei Vav Sif Gimel Paskins, a shul would only require a mezuzah if there's a home in it, if someone lives in there. The Ramah says that if living quarters are located in the courtyard in front of the shul, the courtyard will require a mezuzah, but the shul itself does not require a mezuzah. Base Knesset itself does not require a mezuzah. So why do so many Batei Knesios have mezuzahs? So two explanations. One explanation is that people don't know, and the other explanation is that the shuls get a lot of money by having someone dedicate a mezuzah that they're absolutely not chayiv to have. Now, there's a third explanation also. A lot of times shuls are used for other things also. It's not really used with the full Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. And if it's not really used with the full Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, so then the Chora shouldn't require a mezuzah. When we were putting up the mezuzahs here, the mezuzah doc said, you never know, you're going to see, you're going to want to make a Kiddush down here, you're going to want to, so you should put up mezuzahs here just in case you don't treat it with the full Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. But as far as I know, we've been very good about it. We've treated it with the full Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. But some are not chayiv a mezuzah at all. But a medrash, based on the Gemara, it seems obvious that Batei Medrash should not require mezuzah. And Tosos in Yumad Afir Alf Ambeis says that a Beis Medrash does not require mezuzah. The problem with the Beis Medrash argument is our Gemara. Our Gemara says Rafun had a mezuzah on the doorway to his Beis Medrash. So this is a major discussion in the Rishonim, which we have a little bit that the Gemara explains that even though Rebbe didn't have a mezuzah in his doorway, Rebbe's doorway was only exempt because it wasn't the main entrance into the Beis Medrash. But the main entrance, the Rugil one, does require a mezuzah. So in order to reconcile the contradiction between the two Gemaras, Tosus in Yumadaf Yud Aleph says that the Gemara Menachos, our Gemara, is only speaking about the doorway between the Beis Medrash and a home. But a normal entranceway into a Beis Medrash does not require mezuzah. The Rush in over here Menachos and Hilchos Mezuzah Simin Yud assumes that, no, it's a machlokus between the sugyas. Each one has a different shita. And the Rush points out that the Yerushalmi at the end of Megillah supports the opinion that a mezuzah is required in the Beis Medrash, and the Rush says that the Maram Rutenberg was once taking an afternoon nap in the Beis Medrash, and he was confronted by some sort of evil spirit that wouldn't leave him until he put a mezuzah up on the Beis Medrash. So the Rush says, so there you see, it's a machlokes in two sugyas, we paskin, you put a mezuzah up in the Beis Medrash. So the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Pevav Sif Yud quotes both shitos and says that a mezuzah should be put up in the Beis Medrash, but no bracha. Shach says, like any case of Safek, you should put up another mezuzah where it's required with the bracha, and then run to the Beis Medrash and put up a mezuzah there as well. Good. There is a discussion in the Rishonim why a Beis Medrash is putter from a mezuzah. That Rashi says that it doesn't really belong to anybody, so it's not Beisecha. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin Mezuzah, the Sefer Torah Perek Vav Halacha Vav, says that shuls and Batei Medrash are putter from a mezuzah because they're so kadosh. Some sofer says, well, okay, that's nice, but where does the Rambam get that from? It seems logical to assume that the sanctity of the Beis Knesses, it seems illogical to assume that something that's kadosh should not require a mezuzah. Adrabah. If there's a chiv d'oraisa to put up a mezuzah, so places that are very unholy don't get a mezuzah. A bathroom doesn't get a mezuzah. Places that are holy, adrabah, they should get a mezuzah. So some sofer suggests that maybe there's a gemara in Yuma Daf Yud Beis that distinguishes between an urban shul and a rural shul. So that's what the Achronim all have to work at as well. This is a major discussion in the Achronim. I'm not going to go through the whole issue now. Let's go weiter in the Gemara. So says the Gemara, weiter, Amar Rav Zeir, Amar Rav Masa, Amar Shmuel, mitzvah laniach b'tchila shlisha elyon. Where do you put the mezuzah? At the beginning of the top third of the doorway. Rav Huna, Amar Magbiya min hakarka tefach, u'marchik min hakura tefach. Rav Huna says, you place the mezuzah not in the lowest tefach of the doorway, nor in the highest tefach of the doorway, but v'kala pesach kula kashal mezuzah. Anywhere between the lowest tefach of the doorway, the first and last tefach of the doorway is kosher. Meisvei magbia min hakarka tefach u'merchuk min hakura tefach v'kala pesach kula kashal mezuzah. Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds only the lowest and highest tefach are disqualified. Everywhere else is fine. Rabbi Yossi amar k'shartim u'ksavtim akshir begova afksiv begova. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, just we learn from k'shartim, just like k'shartim by tefillin is on the uppermost part of your arm, so too the mezuzah should be on the uppermost part of the door, higher the better. So Bishlam the Rav Huna Domer Rav Yehuda, Rav Huna matches up Rav Yehuda perfectly, that as long as it's not in the lowest tefach, as long as it's not in the highest tefach, great, so then it's going to match up perfectly. Elu l'Shmuel Domer Kaman, lo Rav Yehuda v'lo Rav Yossi. But who does Shmuel assume like? He seems to be like nobody. Shmuel said that you should dafka have it on the lowest part of the top third of the doorway. Well, that's like nobody. Rav Yossi said it's supposed to be as high as you can go, not the lowest part of the top third of the doorway. So Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Nasan li'olam k'Rabbi Yossi. Really, he holds like Rav Yossi, who says it's supposed to be very high. But you know what very high means? When he said the top third of the doorway, very high means very high. What does he mean by the top third of the doorway, the lowest part of the top third of the doorway? It means as far as you want to go, you can't go any further than the lowest part of the top third of the doorway. Meaning really it should be as close to the top of the doorway as possible. Really it should go as high as possible. But you should, if you're going to go lower than that, it shouldn't be lower than the lowest part of the top third of the doorway. So it sounds from the Gemara, if you were to just read the Gemara, that the mistake that most people make is not a mistake. That which people put their mezuzahs up very high on the doorposts sounds from the Gemara that it's not a mistake at all. However, the Rambam writes, and this is where we get to Halacha, the Rambam Tefillin Mezuzah Sefer Torah Parak Vav Halacha Yibayz writes, Heichon Kovim Mezuzah Mezuzah B'toch Cholol Shal Pesach B'tefach HaSomach L'chutz B'tchilas Shlish HaElyon Shal Gova Ashar, that you should put the mezuzah in the lowest part of the top third of the doorway. Vim Kovim L'mal Mizek Shera, if you put it higher than that, it's kosher. Sounds like very much B'di'eved, but ideally it should be in the lowest part of the top third of the doorway. So that is the Shitas HaRambam. It's only B'di'eved if you make it higher than that, that it's kosher. And that's in fact what we paskin. That's what we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, that it should be in the Tchilas Shlish HaElyon. So even though the Gemara said that Shmuel, that even though the Gemara sounds like it's saying that the lowest part of the top third is as far as you can go, but really it should be higher, the Rambam must have understood the Gemara differently. That the lowest part of the top third is the ideal place to put the mezuzah. There's a famous story with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that when he came to visit South Shore, South Shore Yeshiva out here, the mezuzah was placed for the kindergarten kids very low on the door, so that the kids should be able to reach it to kiss the mezuzah, because that's also that's based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Yud Aleph with Unkelus Hager, that Unkelus, the idea that you're supposed to touch the mezuzah on the way in and out of a room. Unkelus Hager, when they kept on sending people to arrest him and he kept on converting all of them, so they sent a group and said, okay, you're not allowed to talk to him at all. So they weren't going to talk to him, and Unkelus on the way out, as they were schlepping him out, touches the mezuzah. And they said, okay, we can't help ourselves. What was that about? And he starts giving them a whole explanation of what mezuzah is for, and he converted them too. So that's where we get the idea that you touch the mezuzah. So Rabbi Yaakov saw that the mezuzah was very low. He said, why is the mezuzah so low? They said, so the kids could touch the mezuzah. So Rabbi Yaakov said, no, that's incorrect. You shouldn't do that. You should put the mezuzah on the proper place on the door and put a chair. So if the kids want to climb up on the chair and touch the mezuzah, that's fine. But you don't teach them that the wrong tzuras ha-mitzvah. You show them the way the mitzvah is supposed to be done. But the mezuzah is supposed to be placed l'chatchila. A lot of people don't realize, they judge it visually, and they don't realize how low the top third of the doorway is. The top third of the doorway is much lower than most people actually put the mezuzah. It's probably kedai to take a tape measure to measure and see where the lowest part of the top third of the doorway is. Now, it's kosher if you put it higher. It's not like you're not getting the mitzvah, but ideally it's supposed to be the lowest part of the top third of the doorway. Okay, anyway, says the Gemara, Vayter. Amar Rava, Mitzvah l'niach b'tefach ha-samach l'rishus rabim. You're supposed to put it in the tefach closest to the rishus rabim. My time, why? Rabbanan amri k'dei sheyivka b'mezuzah miyad. So the Rabbanan say, because ideally, as you're walking in, you should hit the mezuzah right away. You should come in contact with the mezuzah immediately. Rav Chanin misura omer ki hechi detinterei. There's the line that in order to protect you, that the mezuzah protects anything that's inside of the mezuzah. So you want the mezuzah as close to the outside as possible, so it will protect everything on the inside of that. When the Torah talks about Hilchos Mezuzah, the Torah suggests the different benefits of having a mezuzah. One of the benefits the Torah suggests is that it protects the home from harm. He said one of the benefits he suggests, it gives you Arichas Yamim. Then he says it also protects the home from harm based on this Gemara. The Ramah in Darkei Moshe, Resh Pevav Dalit, says that it's not enough to have it on your front door. In order to protect your home, you need to have it on all your doors. But the Torah is a strange line. And when he describes this benefit, he says this is an even more important reason than the Arichus Yamim that you get from Mezuzah. That the idea of that it gives you protection is even more important than the Arichus Yamim. So the Beis Yosef has a long discussion. Why is this more important than Arichus Yamim? So he says maybe this is a more direct miracle than Arichus Yamim. Some people live long, some people don't live long, but when a city is under attack and one house doesn't get attacked and the other houses do get attacked, and the house that doesn't get attacked has a mezuzah, that's a more open miracle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bach suggests that it's a little different. The Bach says it's the fact that you get arichas yamim, that's the schar for the mitzvah. The fact that your house is protected is just the nature of the mitzvah. It's not even schar. It's like, if I eat matzah, I don't know what my schar is going to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me schar for eating matzah. If I happen to like the taste of matzah, that's not my schar. That's just the nature of it. I happen to like it. I happen to enjoy it. So that's what he thinks the protection is. And that's the gedolah mizu. It's that it's like a bonus that you get, that the mitzvah itself is actually so pleasant that it gives that it gives protection. Nevertheless, it's all the poskim write that mezuzah should not be used dafka for protection. Mezuzah is not some sort of skula, it's not some sort of amulet. It should be used for the kiyum mitzvah, and one of the benefits is that you get extra protection. Okay, I have an article on that topic also, but no time for it now. Amar Rabbi Chanina, bo reish lo kum nisa kadosh baruch hu midas basa v'dam. So Rabbi Chanina says, come take a look at the amazing midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Midas, and this was the argument of Uncle Sager when he converted all those people. Midas basa v'dam melech yashu b'fnim v'amish amir osa b'chutz. By a basa v'dam, the melech stands on the inside and everyone guards him from the outside. Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu ain't okay. Avad of Yoshua Mibifim, who Misham Mibuchutz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the opposite. The Avadim are in the inside. We live in the house, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us on the outside through the mezuzah. Shnemar Hashem Shamrecha Hashem Silcha Al Yadi Minecha. Darash of Yosef Perei Derava Mishmei Derava. Hemek LaTefach Psula. If you dig into the doorpost, into the wall itself, more than a tefach or more, and you stick the mezuzah a tefach deep, into the doorpost, not affixing it on the doorpost, but in, then it's puzzle. If you put it into the doorpost, or you put a brick over it, if there's a tefach in between the mezuzah and the outside of the doorpost, you need another mezuzah. Otherwise, you don't need another mezuzah. So you see, it's enough in a raya that if it's more than a tefach into the doorpost, it's going to be puzzle. I'm going to require another mezuzah. Says Gemara, nah, not such a raya. Maybe that's talking about the Pesach Shachorei Adelas. What is Pesach Shachorei Adelas? So Rashi has this elaborate explanation. It's talking about if you have two doorways on a corner, and the lintel in between them is a very thin type of thing. So if it's a thin type of the post in between them is a very thin stick. So that's what we're saying, that if that stick is a tefach thick or more, then you need another mezuzah for each doorway. It's considered two separate doorways. If it's less than a tefach thick, you don't need another mezuzah, meaning it's only considered one doorway. But it's not talking over here about how deep into the doorpost you're sticking the mezuzah. It's a totally different topic. So it says Gemara, but haba hedikotani la pesach. But it says that beferish in the next line, that if you're dealing with this double doorway on the corner, that it's that it depends on whether it's a tefach thick or not. So why would it say two lines in a row? So it's explaining the previous line. It's a ketzad, that the first line spoke in somewhat vague terminology. So the second line was, okay, what am I talking about? If you have this double doorpost on the corner, so good. So then it depends how thick the post is. Tana, Hamadal Malbin Shalkanim, Chotech Shvaferes Umanicha. If you put up a doorpost of reeds, so you cut a shvaferes and you place the mezuzah in it. This is only if you put up the doorpost first and then you cut and you put the mezuzah in. But Aval Chatach V'Niach Ul B'Sof Hemed Psula. But if first you put the mezuzah in and then you were mamited, then you put it up, then you erected the doorpost, that is going to be possible. Why? Taseh v'lomina asui. So Rashi didn't make it up on Amud Aleph. We definitely have an issue of taseh v'lomina asui when it comes to mezuzah. As we said before, though, the only question is, how do we know that there's an issue of taseh v'lomina asui by mezuzah? Either it's derived from other psukim, from the mitzvah of tzitzis, or it's derived from the mitzvah of sukkah, or maybe it's just purely a din d'rabban. It's not really derived from anywhere on a d'oraisa level, but certainly we do see that there is a din of taseh v'lomina asui. And that's why the Rishonim point out that if a person does construction where they are going to remove parts of the doorpost, and they leave a mezuzah on one side of the doorpost, but they remove the other parts of the doorpost that are going to take away the chiv of mezuzah, and then they replace it, so that's no good. You got to take off the mezuzah and put it back on again, because taseh v'lo mina asui. That's a question. If it's going to stay in the same exact spot, you need to take it off and put it back on again. But okay, the assumption is that normally you do. V'amar Rava, hani piski shimai Peturim min mezuzah. These shimai doorways are pata from mezuzah. My pischi shimai. What are pischi shimai? Pligibar Rav Rechumei v'Abi Yosi. So machlokas Rav Rechumei and Abi Yosi. Chalam delaslu tikra. One says it means that there's no roof on the room. V'chalam delaslu shkufei, that there are no mezuzos, that there are no posts on the doorway. Now this is there are many ways to translate the word tikra here. Many ways to translate the word shkufei. Rashi says tikra means askufa aliona, that there's no top posts on the door. Lesu shkufe means there are no side posts on the door. Tikra might just mean there's no roof on the room at all. But there is a door post. Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rav Chista. Achsadra p'turim in a mezuzah. A porch is pata from a mezuzah. Lefishe in a p'tzimin. Because it doesn't have p'tzimin. What are p'tzimin? P'tzimin are posts. Since a porch doesn't have posts, it doesn't require a mezuzah. So says Gemara, wait a second. Hayesh la p'tzimin chayiv. That implies that if a porch does have posts, you need to put a mezuzah on the posts going into your porch. L'chizik tigra hu davidi. Frankly, Gemara, why would you need a mezuzah on the posts going into your porch? It's just there for structural reasons. It's not there to create a Pesach. It's not there for design reasons, to make it look like a Pesach. It's just there for structure. So, and for structural reasons, you don't need a mezuzah. So, Achikamer, Af b'sheish l'p'tzimin. No, what it means to say is, even if it has posts, p'turah shein asuyin el l'chizuk tikra. It's still going to be pata because it's only made for structural reasons. How often do you ask a shayla and you get to learn the Gemara 2 weeks later where it's mamash the same thing, right? So you have if you have a porch, that's the shayla that we always ask when you see a porch that has posts. So you have to figure out if those posts are there for structural reasons or not. If they're there for structural reasons, it's not required a mezuzah. If they're not there for structural reasons, it does require a mezuzah. Okay, we'll stop there. Amar Abai will pick up tomorrow.